Blog Talk Radio.
That is Christina Perry, A Thousand Years. Hello, I'm your host, Andrew. Thank you all so much again for joining us for another great show. And I want to welcome back our guest co-host for today. You've heard him many times on the show, David. David, welcome back.
Hey, Andrew. Thanks for having me back, man. I enjoy always coming on with you.
Oh, man, I appreciate you coming on with me, and I just and have a good time with you and talking to you and all that. So I think you do a great job with us, so I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, anytime.
Yeah. Well, man, I appreciate it. And I'm sitting here just watching TV right now and watching TV and doing the shows, but I can't help. And usually this is my number one rule, that I turn off anything that has to do with anything when I start the show. But, of course, this recent bombing in Boston has focused, I think, everyone's attention elsewhere. It's just it's horrible.
It's a tough situation, and I get myself torn between a lot of images that are being, you know, strewn across Facebook and replaying the videos over and over. At one point, I'm like, you know, I don't need to see that, and I don't need to see it continuous, and if I need to see it, I can look it up. But at the same time, I do appreciate that people do document things, because that is how we know things. Like, that's how we learn from history. But at some point, I just don't enjoy seeing the pictures of, you know, bodies mutilated and whatnot. But
right.
I don't know. It's one of those you don't know how to take. It's just hard to question, you know?
It really is. And just watching it now, and they keep showing the same, like you said a minute ago, they keep showing the same pictures and videos just on repeat, just over and over and over again. And it's a horrific scene. It's horrible.
Well, not to sound like a prude or anything, but, I mean, you know, there may be a chance that kids are watching this, and I feel like it's not a daytime type thing or nighttime type thing that needs to be shown. It's, you know, if somebody needs to go see that, and for the history part of it, can look it up, but I feel like they're showing it too much on TV. I understand why they're doing it. I do, but at the same time, enough is, you know, a few times is enough.
Right, right. And my thoughts and prayers are definitely with the families and friends and everyone else that was at the scene, and the families that are going through what they're going through now. As I understand, a 8-year-old boy was one of the ones of the deceased yesterday from the bombing. And I believe there's some more kids in the hospital that have head injuries and things like that. I just, my heart goes out to them.
Truly a sad situation and a sick individual that was able to do something like this. And I hope, you know, you don't want to judge and say who did it, what did it, you know, what country, this kind of thing, until we do know the details of it. But whatever it is, it's just a sad, sad situation. And I don't want to say a sad world, but it's a sad mindset to where somebody can feel that they need to do something like that in order to get attention. Because, I mean, I think that's basically all it is I want attention for either this platform or that platform. I'm like, there's other ways to go about it. Yeah. This is definitely the wrong way to go about it.
And one of the worst things about it as well is that, you know as well as I do, and we can say it, we can be positive about it all we want, we can say whatever we want, but we all know that this isn't the end of it. There's always going to be something. You know, you hear on the news every few months, and you know it happens every day, but you hear it on the news maybe once a month, once every 2 months, that the FBI or Secret Service stopped this terrorist attack, or they stopped this or stopped that. And this time, this actually got through the loophole. And like I said, you know it's not the end of it. You know, unfortunately, there's probably going to be something to happen again. As bad as I hate to say that, and how do you stop something like this? You really can't.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things you can do to help deter it, but if somebody's crazy, you can't stop crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, this whole situation in Newtown, I mean, that's just a fluke crazy thing. Crazy is crazy, and, you know, whether it's mentally crazy or just crazy in the head, I don't know, but it's hard to stop crazy 100%, and, I mean, I admire these people, all the stuff that we don't hear about, that the Secret Service and all these law enforcement agencies actually stop, that we never even hear about.
Right.
So, I mean, I feel lucky to where we live nowadays, but I remember, you know, seeing all these bombings in the Middle East, and I was saying to myself, I was like, who on earth would live in these places where there's bombings that take place like that? And then here it is, it's happening in our own country. And,
right.
You know, and there's more stops than we hear about. I mean, it's a sad reality that, like you were saying, there's a lot of stuff that happens that just breezed by in the news. There's a small segment like, oh, stop the bomb in this state or whatnot. But when it actually happens, that's when it makes big news. But it's just tough. It's one of those you don't know how to respond to or don't know how to answer questions because you don't want to be inappropriate, and at the same time you don't want to put fear in people, but you don't want to, you know, let people just go lollygagging along life not knowing that, you know, people out there every day put their life on the line and prevent things like this.
Absolutely.
Sometimes they just get through.
Yeah. Absolutely, and Americans should absolutely not be scared or afraid, and we should not live in a country like that at all. It is scary to think about. It's absolutely scary to think about that if something like this could happen at the Boston Marathon, who's to say that it couldn't happen at a major sporting event or anything that we go at, a major mall or whatever. It's, you know, it's frightening.
Yeah, like you said, you can't live your life scared to where you don't go outside because, like they said back in the day when 2001 happened was, you know, if you do that, then the terrorists win. And that's, you know, you definitely can't live that. And a quote that's been going around, I've seen on Facebook, a girl quoted, and I think it was actually from Mr. Rogers, believe it or not, but he said something to the tune of, when disaster strikes, look for all the people that are helping. And those outweigh the bad people. And if you do watch the video of where the bombing did take place, you saw multiple people running towards the bombings to help people. And that's kind of how you got to look at it, is there's good in this world and definitely good in this country. We can't let a few bad people overshadow the good people that do take place. Because to run into something like that, not knowing if another bomb's going to take off, to help other people that you probably don't know, I mean, that is the good in this country and in this world, and I feel like that should be, you know, put into the limelight just as much as the bad does.
I completely agree, man. That's an excellent point. I couldn't agree with you more. And I definitely want to come back to all this. So on a happier note,
yeah,
I guess it is my fault. I guess I should have waited towards the end of the show to talk about this.
It's a difficult segue, any way you look at it. So,
well, you want to talk about dating now?
Yeah, that's a bright story. Well, it could be a bright story. I don't know. Some people have just a devastating dating life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll be one to say it, including myself. I don't talk about my private life a lot. You know, on the show, but I kind of make fun of it a little bit, and I did that with our guest Eva Longoria, who will play that interview in just a second. But had a lot of fun with her. She's a great person, and I was so excited to have her on. But this morning, you joined me with Amber Keller Andrews. I thought she was absolutely brilliant with her ideas on dating and everything else. I can't wait to watch the show tonight.
Yeah, she seemed like a really nice lady, really insightful. I enjoyed the conversation, as I do with everyone that we speak with. But this one in particular, I don't know, she just seemed like a laid-back, you know, kind of person that you just talk to about anything, which I guess you have to do if you're trying to match up people. You got to feel comfortable, have them feel comfortable around you. And I do regret that I did not try to get you on the show. That would have been the best.
Yeah. Well, here is our interview with Amber Keller Andrews, only about 30 minutes ago, actually. And now I'm so pleased to welcome the matchmaker on Ready for Love on NBC, Mrs. Amber Keller Andrews. Amber, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. How are you this morning? How's everything going?
Everything's going pretty good. I'm in Miami with the three bachelors from the show, and we're getting ready to watch tonight. So we're very excited. We're having a kind of a premiere party. The show premiered last week, but tonight you're introduced to two more bachelors. So it's really still kind of the beginning of the show, and we're considering this the second premiere.
All right. How excited are you about the show? I absolutely loved the show last week. I thought it was a great show. And how excited are you for things to come?
Well, as a professional matchmaker, this is a dream come true. I've watched a lot of reality shows, and I'm always watching kind of like an action movie without a stunt coordinator. And for the first time, we're able to interject. We're able to talk to people before and after the date. And so for the audience at home, I hope this is one of the first reality shows where you actually learn something and you can take something for yourself out of the show. And that's really the idea of what Eva Longoria and NBC wanted to do. We're kind of tired of the reality shows that we're plugging into, which is kind of brain-dead entertainment. Mm-hmm. And this actually will... You can sit and watch it and learn lessons and talk to your girlfriends or your guy friends and be like, really, I didn't even realize I did that, but I do.
Right.
So I'm really excited about the show.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that. You absolutely can take something out of this show by getting advice and all that. Now, you've been a matchmaker for quite a long time, and I was reading your bio on your website. What really got you interested in being a matchmaker, and how were you approached to be on the show?
Well, my mother is Jill Kelleher, and she created company Kelleher International, which is where I got my start. So we've been around for 27 years. We're actually the longest-standing matchmaking firm in the country. So I just kind of grew up watching my mom do it, and I've been the CEO of the company for 17 years. So I've worked with over 40,000 people and have always enjoyed putting people together. So for me to do this on a platform such as NBC, Prime Time, and, you know, a two-hour show every week, it's a dream come true because I watch reality shows. I watch anything that has to do with dating, and it's disturbing to me to watch people that don't even belong together, and they're trying to make it work because it's a competition.
Right.
And so we were able to choose women that we truly felt were not only ready for love but are great matches for these amazing men. And yes, we critique along the way, and we teach the do's and don'ts, but it's really for the people back home more than it is for the girls on the show. They're all, you know, they're all ready to meet these guys. And so you just kind of watch three love stories unfold. And it gets more and more complicated as the women start to go home because these are great matches for these guys, and it's kind of hard for them to choose who's the best match.
Right. And like I said before, I absolutely love the show. And how surprised are you? You're sitting back watching the show, and you're watching everything that's going on, and you're seeing that there are women on the show that's now approaching someone that they've loved all their life, and they let them come on the show to meet all these other beautiful women without telling them at home that they love them. That's crazy to me.
It is crazy, but, you know, it's reality. A lot of people figure that, you know, they'll eventually say something. And then all of a sudden, Eva Longoria took these three guys on a media tour and introduced them to the country. And for the few women that are sitting in the hometowns going, oh, my God, the guy that I've been in love with for all these years is about to go, you know, and find somebody. So we got a lot of submissions from women that were like, hey, wait a minute, I don't want to lose this guy. And we allowed two of them to come back onto the show. So it's really interesting to watch these women. They're brave, and they come out and they say, I've never told you this, but this is how I feel.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And it definitely shocks these guys, you know, but it's nice to see, for the people watching, it's nice to see, you know, it gives you kind of bravery, and maybe hopefully a couple of women were able to tell men how they feel after watching it.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. And David?
Amber, I know a lot of women, my wife included, that for some reason feel the need to match all your friends together who are single. And I've seen it backfire to the point to where it's you have different friends now. Nobody can get one group together. I don't know what it is, but it always seems to be the case that it ends up horrible. What advice can you give someone that is, I guess you can say, an amateur in matchmaking? Because my advice is to my wife is just butt out. But she doesn't listen to that. So what advice could I give her possibly to make sure that it works out and nobody gets hurt?
Well, I know. People always say that they can meet, you know, on their own or they can meet through friends. Meeting on your own is random and risky. Meeting through friends can become a disaster because if your wife thinks that her girlfriend is super cool and she thinks this guy is super cool, then ultimately she thinks the two of them are going to feel the same way about each other. The difference when you work as a matchmaker, I have to get into the head of the guy. I have to get into the mind of the woman. I have to think for them. Just because I think both clients are cool does not mean that they're actually a match for each other. So the advice that I would give your wife is she has to really consider, you know, who these people are and what would be the right match for them, because you can't just put two fun people together and hope that it's going to click. You look at morals, you look at background, you look at religion, you look at age, you look at how you're going to raise the children. And if she does that, she might be a great matchmaker.
I won't tell her you said that because I want her to stay as far away as possible from all that.
Oh, come on now. There's nothing more rewarding than putting two people together. That works. We're going to have some work.
That's true. You've been married for quite a while. I mean, what is it like to see something like that and have it fail? I mean, what does that feel if you do see something that does fail? Is there some way you feel responsible if you were trying to put it together? Or how does that go? How does that work?
I think that we're all on a path of learning and progressing. And if I put two people together and it ultimately doesn't work out in the end, I feel that I've gotten them that much closer to finding the one. So I never really look at it as a failure. Timing has a lot to do with people. What makes Ready for Love a great show is that we found three guys that had no desire to be a reality star, that had no desire to do the show in the first place until they realized Eva was behind it, Eva Longoria, and they realized that they were real matchmakers. And suddenly they discovered in themselves that, yeah, they are ready, and why not try to find the best possible match as opposed to just marrying the girl that they're dating in their local town. So it's really about timing for guys. And if he hasn't found the perfect match, then I kind of feel like the very next one he will. So it's never a failure. It's always a good thing.
Good way to look at it. I like that.
Well, Ready for Love airs tonight at 9, 8 Central, right after The Voice, every Tuesday right after The Voice. Amber, I can't believe we're out of time. You're so brilliant, and I have so many questions I want to ask you, and I would absolutely love to have you back on in the future.
Well, I would love to come back on, and this is going to change the way people date, so there'll be plenty of stuff to talk about if I come back, for sure.
Absolutely, and we are definitely going to make that request to have you back. So, but thank you so much for joining us, and I cannot wait to watch the show tonight. Thank you.
All right, thanks, you guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Amber.
And there you go. It would help to turn my mic back on after we get back. So that was Amber Kelleher Andrews from Ready for Love on NBC. And I probably killed her middle name. Did I, David?
Probably.
Yeah.
Kelleherham? I forget it, too.
Keller. Everyone can check out her website. It's amberkelleher.com. I'm sorry. I know I'm killing it, but she spells her last name Kelleher. So Kelleher and Amber .com. So check out her website. You can follow her on Twitter, like her Facebook page as well. And now is your wife going to listen to the show? Because if she does, she's going to hear that advice.
I will make sure that she does not. I try to discourage her from listening to anything I say. That way I'm not scared to say anything.
What's that?
I was going to say that I wonder how many of these women that say they do try to go to a matchmaker and it doesn't work out, and then they find out that somebody like the lady Amber has been married for like, 20 years or something like that. Mm-hmm. I wonder how many of them sit there and go, "Oh, it's easy for you to say you're married, but you don't understand now." But I just wonder how that takes.
Yeah. So some people are afraid to call in, but if anyone would like to call in and answer that question anything else, call in 818-495-6928, 818-495-6928. Give us your thoughts on dating and the whole matchmaker thing. We'd love to hear from you. Definitely. So David, you've been married for how long?
Well, I've been married for a year and a half, but we dated for 10 years. I know I'm not one to give advice on getting married because we dated forever, but it was a good thing, a situation where, you know, everything was going good, so we didn't even think about it. It just kind of breezed by. But we basically have been together over 10 years.
Wow. So were you introduced to her by someone?
Yeah, kind of through a mutual thing. We met through mutual friends, obviously, and kind of started out as a friendship. We dated we actually were friends for like a year before we even started dating. That was one of those deals where I was like, she's too good for me, so I'll just be friends with her kind of deal.
Right.
Turns out she liked me, so I was shocked.
Wow. So you definitely believe that it's best to be friends first and then possibly move into something? Or it definitely worked for you?
It worked for me. I don't know if that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. I know everybody says that because it's kind of a cliche thing to say is be
right.
friends first kind of deal. But a lot of times as a guy, you know, let's get real here. You can fall into that friend zone to where the friend zone never moves into the man zone.
Right.
You can be their friend, but then they look at you as a friend and start sharing stuff like a friend. It's hard to go from friend to boyfriend or husband or something like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes. I mean, obviously it works because, I mean, I'm a living example. But, you know, sometimes women want their friends and then they want their boyfriends.
Yeah. Once you hear those magical words, oh, you're like my brother, or I'm so glad we're friends, you just know it's over.
Oh, you just pat them on the back, walk out your door, and don't come back.
That's it.
That's done deal.
Exactly.
I think I had a girl tell me that one time. He was like, "Look, maybe we just need to be friends." I'm like, "Look, I got friends I don't even see now. I got too many friends. I ain't looking for friends."
Exactly.
The old friend zone. It'll sneak up and bite you.
Yes, it will. Now, I recently had the opportunity to speak with Eva Longoria, the beautiful Eva Longoria. She needs no introduction. She is the executive producer of Ready for Love, but she's been a Desperate Housewife, the star of Desperate Housewives, the beautiful model, everything else. I really enjoyed speaking with her, and let's go ahead and listen to her interview now. This was yesterday around this time that I interviewed her. And now I'm so pleased to welcome the executive producer of Ready for Love on NBC, the beautiful Mrs. Eva Longoria. Hi, how are you? Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you today?
Good, good. I'm excited for our show to air tonight, our second episode of Ready for Love.
I cannot wait for it. I absolutely loved the first show, it's just such a great show. And I want to ask you, how proud are you that it's taken off the way it has and that it had such great numbers? I mean, it was just a phenomenal night, I believe, last week.
It was great. Well, you know, it's great when you have a lead-in like The Voice,
right.
which is the most popular show on television right now. But it's really exciting because we've been developing it for 2 years and we wanted to modernize how people date today on TV using matchmakers and using the internet. And so we were pretty successful at that and the format works. These matchmakers are amazing. They give out great advice that everybody can listen and follow and, you know, take away from the show. And the guys are just sweet and amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one thing that I liked as well. I definitely took some advice myself because anyone would tell you that I need it myself. But what were you hoping to do with this show? Because there's been so many dating shows in the past, Bachelors, Bachelorette, and so many through on the airwaves. What were you hoping to to make so different about this show?
Well, like I said, you know, we wanted to contemporize it and modernize it. So people are dating in a very different way now. And you have to widen your pool. And you do that with social media and the internet and matchmakers. And the great thing about our matchmakers is they're really helping these guys and these girls get out of their own way. You know, get out of the way. You know, when you're locked into, I want a tall blonde, you know, you're like, okay, you know.
Right.
So they're really great with, you know, giving us advice that it's like peering into this secret well of knowledge that you're like, hey, I didn't know that.
Right, absolutely. And I don't want to give away anything about the show for anyone that may have it TiVo'd from last week that may plan on watching it later today or anything like that. But how surprised were you at the guys? I mean, you're sitting back watching it, and there's certain people that didn't confess their love, and now they're wanting to do it on the show. I mean, are you as taken back as the audience is, and kind of like, wow, oh my god?
Yes. Yes, I mean, we had that girl come on last week for Tim, and right. then we also have an ex-girlfriend coming on this week with Ben, and we're like, geez, why do you want to profess your love now on TV? Like, why couldn't you do it at home?
That's exactly what I was screaming at the TV. I said, why are you on this show? Why did you let him come meet these beautiful girls? And you're just now doing this. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so good to watch, though. It's an amazing social experiment.
It absolutely is. And Ready for Love airs Tuesdays at 9, 8 Central, right after The Voice. I hate that we have to let you go so soon. And like I said before we brought you on, I have so much respect for your work, and I absolutely, absolutely love you. And I would absolutely love to have you back on, and I hope that we can talk more soon.
Thank you so much. Don't forget to watch the show.
Right, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Okay.
And that was the beautiful Mrs. Eva Longoria. Now, we only had her, if everyone's wondering, I'm sure they are, why it was so quick. Our time allowed us only 4 or 5 minutes to have with her. We would love to have her back on. Not sure if we will, but we would love to have her back on again. And, David, you weren't able to join me for that show, but what did you think about that?
Dude, it was so quick you weren't able to have me on, but, man, I would love to speak to Eva Longoria because obviously she's a good-looking lady. But besides that, I mean, I don't even know if I should confess this, but I'll blame it on my wife. Because of my wife, I watch a lot of shows that most guys do not watch, and Desperate Housewives is one of those shows. So I would love to ask questions about Desperate Housewives because I was hook, line, and sinker on that show. It was a good show at the early stages. I loved it. And her being nearly half naked every time on the show didn't hurt.
Don't even blame it on your wife. Come on. You know you like it.
I know I watch a lot of shows that most guys should not watch. Let's just say there's a whole lot of Bravo shows on my TV, on my DVR, that should not be there.
Bravo shows.
Anything Housewives, I'm on.
Really?
I mean, Desperate Housewives, Real Housewives of Orange County, Beverly Hills, Miami, Atlanta, of course. It's sad. I think I need an intervention. It's kind of bad.
I would have never guessed that from you, that you like those shows. Never.
I know. I have to cover it up by fishing and drinking whiskey to make it look like I'm a family man.
That makes it completely better right there. There you go.
Exactly. But her talking about, I wasn't able to catch last week's show yet, but her talking about the women that all of a sudden, now that the guy's on TV, they're wanting to come confess their love.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I find that shocking, don't you?
Yeah, it was. You definitely. I know you had some things going on, but you definitely have to watch the show this week. And even I believe you can go on NBC and watch the show from last week. It's kind of like The Voice, and I meant to mention this when we were talking to Amber. It's kind of like The Voice in some sense that they don't get to see what the girls look like. They stand behind a wall, and these girls stand in these little cubicle things, and they kind of talk to the girls through the wall without seeing them. They hear their voice, they hear their personality, they ask them questions, that kind of thing, before they even get to look at them. So it's pretty cool. And one girl last week, she stood at the end, and she said, she's like, hey, how you doing? And as soon as he heard her voice, you know, he knew who it was. And she told him that she had always cared about him. She had always loved him. So it was crazy. And I was like, you know, just like I said to Eva just a minute ago, I could not believe that someone like that would let them come on this reality show and without confessing their love. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they have to do it for the show, but I'm like, who would let it get to that point?
Right.
I love my wife, but if it was the point where I could be like, I can go on there and, you know, she's got a bunch of studly dudes trying to get at her, and then I come on and say, I love you, like, not saying she wouldn't choose me, but she would at least take a second look at old six-pack Johnny over there.
Right.
he walking up with an old tub old belly.
Right. And Amber was saying just a minute ago when we had her on, she was saying how they did a national tour, a press tour or something, and then I guess the girls saw them on that. So then they wanted to come on the show to confess their love. But the girl last week had been friends with the guy for a long time, so she had to have known he was coming on the show. So I would love to have them on. I'd like to know kind of the behind the scenes kind of snippets of that of how that really went.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I need to watch the show. I'm almost hooked now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you would really like it. I wish I could watch it tonight. I'm actually running out myself, but I recommend everybody watch this. It's going to be a great show. Ready for Love tonight at 9 on NBC. David, now you actually have a podcast of your own
we're starting it up. It's about three shows in. We're doing a show later tonight. It's called Inappropriate Commentary. Myself and Mr. Dontree Stevens is basically us getting together, talking bull, basically, just chatting back and forth, trying to make things funny, having a little guest here and there, and, you know, trying to show you what life's like up here in North Georgia and just try to hang out, have a good time. You can find it right now on davidandpoe.com. We're looking to soon to get it on iTunes, but right now it's just on davidandpoe.com. And check it out. Tell us what you think. Please comment. I mean, we enjoy doing it, but would love the feedback.
Yeah, I just want to know when I'm going to be able to, when you're going to invite me on the show. That's all that I want to know.
Man, I tell you, It's going to happen. I'm kind of the co-host of the show as well as the technical support kind of guy, and it's taking everything I can to just learn how to get the thing to record. So as soon as I get the phone system down working, you'll be guest number one on the phone, I promise you.
Man, I can't wait. That'd be awesome. Now, you have Twitter and Facebook as well. Do you have a Facebook fan page for David and Poe?
Not yet. All right now, we just have our personal Twitter, which is Dontree Shoe King Steven. You can find him at. So it'll be easy to find Shoe King. But I'm David Smith. Maybe a little tougher. They may have to go on the old Drew Show. I'm a friend of that and see if they can find me there. But David Smith on Facebook. And my Twitter is DS40. That's David Smith at BS40.
BS40?
And I try to send out, I think that's it. I'm horrible when it comes to publicizing myself, but I believe it's DS40.
All right. Well, awesome. Well, I hope everyone will check it out. And again, your website, davidandpoe.com. That's just PO.com.
Davidandpoe.com. That's correct. And come check it out. I do a blog on there. Dontree does a blog. We do different things. Check it out. Let us know what you think.
Yeah. And I know I don't want to keep you much longer. I know you have some things going on today, I believe. But I just want to get back for a second about the Boston Marathon and something I posted earlier on Facebook. And I think everyone needs to really keep their mouth shut about certain things that's going on. I have certain people, friends on Facebook, I should say, or if you want to call it that, that believe that everything is a government conspiracy, that everything's a cover-up and all that. And just like I said before, I think people need to keep their mouth shut. I think it's very disrespectful. I think it's horrifying that these lives are lost and you're wanting to blame it on someone like that.
Yeah,
do you agree?
I saw your post, and I mean, it is funny how everybody has those friends that everything is a government conspiracy or a conspiracy theorist. They'll have you thinking Bush tore down the towers. They think Obama was involved in the shooting of the schools and everything. And, you know, there's obviously you can swerve things to where it makes it seem real. But, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, regardless of what party you're on, Republican or Democrat, these people do love America. Nobody wants to see any kind of terrorist. Obama's not going to go out and have anybody bombed in the Boston Marathon to prove a point about gun control or anything like that. People just get kind of carried away. Like I said earlier, it's just you can't stop crazy. And sometimes you just have these crazy people or either mentally handicapped people that you know, we need to find do a good job of trying to find help for these people.
Yeah, and I'll admit it right now, I'm not a big supporter of Obama's. I'm really not. But when something like this happens, I don't care if you voted for Obama, you voted for Romney, or you didn't vote at all. I care less. When something like this happens, just like the Newtown, Connecticut, when something like this happens, you've got to push your feelings aside, and you've got to face facts. You may not like what someone believes in politically, but you can push your beliefs aside and be there for the country when they need you the most.
Well, when 9/11 happened, I'm not scared to say it. I'm a Republican. I voted Bush. When 9/11 happened and everybody got on Bush's saying Bush needs to do this, Bush needs to do that, and showing disrespect for Bush, I was the first one to be like, look, he's the president. He's going to do what he can do. Bush loves this country. He's going to do what he can do as president to make a change and do whatever he can to bring these people, you know, into justice.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I would be a hypocrite if I was to do the same thing to Obama now that he's facing some sort of crises like this as well. So I'm going to put my support in both the president and all that until he can prove otherwise that he
right.
doesn't deserve. But as of right now, from that standpoint, he hasn't shown anything. It's a little quick to jump the gun to blame it on government or anything like that until we know all the details.
Yeah, and I guess you could say the biggest thing that's happened in his presidency is Newtown, Connecticut, of course, the school shooting. And I've got to say, hands down, I thought that he handled that extremely well with his press conference, with what he said a few hours after it happened, with going to Newtown and with the big rally and the memorial thing and all that. I thought he handled it with class and dignity. And, of course, there were still people, even after he did that, still saying bad things and still really, really hating on it, saying that, you know, he wasn't really crying on national TV and all that. I mean, he may be the president, but he's also a father to beautiful girls as well.
Yeah, people forget that. I mean, they just see party affiliation and go with it at that point. But, you know, I mean, maybe they're the best actors in the world, but I feel like, you know, these people do care about America and they do care about what's going on. Nobody wants to see people bombed or kids shot or anything like that. So to blame it on, not necessarily blame it, but to talk bad about someone because of the way they reacted. A lot of people reacted bad to Bush when he was in the school and doing the little reading and whatnot, and he didn't jump up right away, but I'm like, you know, there's only so much he can do, and he's got to maintain a focus and maintain, you know, a dignity about it. And, you know, you don't want to scare all those little kids. And, you know, Obama wasn't about to go there with guns blazing himself. So, I mean, these people are just, I don't want to say figureheads, but they're there to comfort the nation. The president doesn't have quite as much power as we like to believe. It's a lot of people that make the decisions that do take place in this country. So,
right.
If Obama wants something done, he can, you know, get behind it and all that, but he's not going to make it happen without help of other people.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Absolutely. David, I want to thank you, buddy, so much for joining me, and I hope everyone will check out your podcast as well. I've listened to it several times, and I think it's great. I think you're doing a wonderful job with it, and I can't wait to be on your show.
Thanks, Drew, and I can't wait to be back anytime, man.
Well, thank you. And again, website davidandpoe.com. I want to thank David. I want to thank Eva Longoria for joining us and Amber K. Andrews. I'm going to refer to her as that because I killed her last killer middle name, Amber K. Andrews. But thank you all again. And David, I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, bud. Maybe next time on a lighter note.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. Everyone,
thanks,
check
man.
Me out on Twitter. My Twitter is at DrewBTR. That's DrewBTR, as well as Facebook, facebook.com/WAEJ The Drew Show. Thank you again, everyone, for joining us. Love one another. Have a great day.